Every journey has its own story. Have you ever been on a trip that really brings a change in you? The trip that you'll always remember all your life, and you'll pass the story on to your friends, family, or even your children. Manuel, he drove from Switzerland to Africa. How did he do it? Was it even possible? Let's listen to his story only on Berbagi Frequency. Hello listeners, how are you today? I'm Cherika Harjakusma, back again in Berbagi Frequency, and today is a very special day because I am recording this podcast from Stockholm in Sweden. I'm still traveling for some time and I get to see people here. I'm meeting my friends, so I would really like to use the opportunity to actually make podcast here. And this morning I have a very special guest, and his name is Manuel. How are you, Manuel? And thanks for joining Berbagi Frequency.
I'm very well, thank you. And you?
I'm great, thanks. So thanks again for joining me here. So you've been to many places, you've traveled a lot, including to Indonesia, right? Mm-hmm. But there's always this special trip that you did to Africa, and it was a road mm-hmm. trip from Switzerland. How on earth did you come up with that idea of driving from Switzerland to Africa?
It would be quite a long story if I tell you everything, but to put it quite shortly, I discovered Africa the first time in 2007, and after this first trip, I felt done with Africa. It was a good trip. It was not a bad experience at all, but I felt like, okay, I'm done with it. And a year later, exactly, for whatever reason, I felt the need to go there again. But going there alone or with the group I went the first time was not an option for me for many reasons. And then I decided to invite my friends from uni at that time. Mm-hmm. And I just sent an email to all of them. Hey, guys, would you like to join? I'm planning to go back, and and there were like I think 10 or 12 people mm-hmm. answering positively to that email.
Okay, wait, 10 to 12 people. How did you fit everyone into a car, or did you have like many cars?
Well, the car decision was made even later, few days later. Once we had our first kickoff meeting, we decided, let's do it by car because it's a fun thing. And I heard from other friends that they did it already, so I knew it was possible. And of course, we had to organize several cars. In the end, we had 5 cars.
Wow. Okay, that's a big group, and a big group of cars as well.
It is. Yeah. It was a huge logistics to put everybody in a car, to feed all these people, of course.
Yeah.
To organize all these cars that they stick together, because at that time, we had already cell phones. Mm-hmm. But cell phone, mobile phone, and calls.
No smartphone
at all, mm-hmm. and calls were very, very expensive abroad.
I can imagine, yeah. And so, to give a bit more ideas to our listeners, so the trip was starting in where precisely in Switzerland?
It was in the three borders corner, we call it like that, mm-hmm. where France, Switzerland, and Germany are coming together.
Mm-hmm. And then you went from there to where?
And then we went to south of France and to Spain, mm-hmm. Crossing the Mediterranean Sea in Gibraltar.
Wow. And that was with a ferry?
With a ferry, yeah. Exactly, mm-hmm. yes. And then we went toward south through whole Morocco. We literally crossed whole Morocco from north to south. Mm-hmm. Later on, it was Mauritania. We crossed the Sahara Desert in Mauritania.
Wow. So you were also in the desert with these 5 cars?
Yes, definitely. We were, and they...
So you used what, like four-wheelers?
At all, not at all. There were regular cars. We
wow.
had really, we had quite good mechanics with us. Three people of the group were really good mechanics, so mm-hmm. they had to fix quite a lot. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the road is pretty good. There are some holes here and there, of course, but the roads are not that bad, actually.
Okay. So I'm going to give a minute to our listeners to actually look up on Google Maps where precisely Switzerland is and where Morocco is. So you can somehow imagine the route. Because then from there you go southern, right?
We go even southern, yes. Mm. We go to approximately the middle of Mauritania on the Atlantic coast. And then we go really... drive directly into the land. So we go really into Sahara Desert. It's called La Route de l'Espoir, the Road mm-hmm. of Hope. Mm-hmm. Because I think historically it was a road that had to link some really remote places mm. inside the Sahara Desert. And somewhere in the middle, we go south again towards Mali and the capital city, Bamako. And from Bamako, we go towards Burkina Faso, which is a country in really in the middle mm-hmm. of Africa.
Yeah. How long did the trip last?
The road trip itself lasted for 2 weeks, and then we were another 2 weeks on site, so... from leaving to coming back to Europe, it was exactly 1 month.
Mm-hmm. So you made several stopovers during that trip in different countries. And how did you get all equipped with like food? And did you have to find like toilets along the road that maybe there was not even toilet available?
True, yeah. Right. There sometimes there was no toilet available, mm-hmm. and food. We had a food team as well. We had a mechanics team as well. We had logistics and whatever team, and there was a team only for food and for cooking. Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you were then very organized in that case.
We were organized. Yes, mm-hmm. of course. Mm-hmm. We every car was equipped with a talkie-walkie, as I
walkie-talkie. Yes, it's the same. So that you can still communicate.
Yes. At that time, the mobile phone were not that well equipped. There was sometimes not even signal. Mm-hmm. And it was very expensive, of course.
Mm, I can imagine. Though you're already that organized, you have prepared all the logistics and everything, but... going to Africa is really like going to the world of the unknown. Like you sometimes, I can't imagine you could not really predict things. It's not like in Europe, for example. Was it difficult for you to adapt?
Of course, it's challenging. Difficult, I wouldn't say difficult because it's also very interesting and fun. Oh. So, challenging, I would say.
Mm-hmm. And what was the first challenge that you guys faced during this trip? Did the car break down or somebody got sick or?
No, the first challenge we had was a car that the brakes were broken.
Woof.
But no worry, the brakes were working too good. So in the end, we had to unscrew the brakes because they were too tight.
Okay, strange. But then after that, what was the most difficult challenge that you guys faced within this 4 weeks together?
The most challenging were the borders. The borders are always very, very difficult. And we had we wanted from beginning on, we didn't want to pay any bribes because, of course, bribery is a widespread phenomenon in Africa, and we didn't want to pay anything, so this was quite challenging to pass the borders on a legal way, of course, mm-hmm. and also without any tips.
And some countries that you've visited, maybe in conflict or dangerous? Did you encounter any like conflicting areas where you could not enter?
No, the whole travel was quite difficult at the beginning, because at that time it was the very beginning of terrorism in Sahara.
Mm-hmm.
But we actually didn't know that at that time, and there was an attack few weeks ago. And it was in fact not a terrorist attack,
mm-hmm.
but let's say the media and so on, they were not quite sure, so they thought it was a terrorist attack. So mm-hmm. at the beginning we didn't even know whether we can go or not there, but we decided in the end to go, which was a good decision. And 2 years later I went again, so but I think today you could not do this trip anymore. Now it's too dangerous.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, well, taking that like situation, like really traveling, it's not just about the place, but it's also about the people, the local people. And mm-hmm. how was your encounters with the local there? Because you, how many of you, 20 people and all Europeans
mm-hmm.
coming to Africa, how was it?
Oh, it's very, Africans are very welcoming people, and it was always a really warm-hearted welcoming from them.
Mm-hmm.
It was language was also a topic, of course, but in the end it was how to say, the official language is always French, so they always speak at least some words of French. So you can always have a light discussion, let's say, and some of them are very good in French, and so it was really very welcoming. No problem at all. No,
you did not encounter locals that did not welcome you or ask you to leave.
No, never. Sometimes you have a bit, there can be a bit afraid if you come in very remote places where they are not used to see strangers, but not welcoming. No, it's not in their culture. Their culture is very welcoming.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. And what was the most beautiful encounters that you had with the local?
I think it was not really an encounter, but it was an experience we had. We were there, among other things we did there, we installed some solar panels and lighting in schools. So it was really great to see these pupils coming in the evening and learning in the school, because it was the only, at that time, the school with these solar panels was the only place in the village equipped with light. So that was really, the pupils came, they were learning, they were studying. Their parents came as well, of course, because there was light. And this was a really great experience.
Traveling with a big group of friends. Some friends might have different opinions with you. Sometimes you might argue. Was it a challenge for you with all these friends that came into this trip with you?
I think it was quite okay, probably due to a quite good organization, I think, before the trip. Of course, there were some difference of opinions, but nothing more than we had usually in Europe, within Europe, during our uni time. It was pretty okay, and even two of them are now married, two of the team, and have two kids. So I think it was a pretty good experience.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and last but not least, what was the biggest lesson learned that you take from this road trip to Africa, and what and how it change you, or how it changed your perspective, or change the way you do things, or change the way you travel?
I think what you take away from, I think, every African trip, and even more within that trip, with was a which was a quite slow-paced trip. Mm-hmm. Is that things in Africa especially are, you cannot change them as quickly and as you would like them to be in Europe, so you cannot change black into white or white into black within seconds. You can, to the best you can influence things, but you cannot change them radically. So you just have to accept some things. You have to go with the flow, I would say, and not getting angry about it, because this would not change anything. So you just have to be chilled.
Right. To be very honest, we as Indonesians, we are very far away from Africa, and conversations or topics related to Africa is not as frequent as it is in Europe. Mm-hmm. What we as Indonesians, what I at least know, is that okay, Africa is a continent that is dangerous, it has many conflicts, it has extreme poverty, and also the level of education of the people there is relatively low. It's probably also has some similarities with Indonesia to a certain extent. Is that true, you think?
It depends. Africa, of course, just as Asia, is a whole continent, so it has a very huge diversity of countries, of people, of areas. So, and indeed, there are some very poor and very low educated areas in Africa, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. There is also a growing insecurity, and there are growing conflicts, unfortunately. But nevertheless, Africa, the Africa I experienced at least, mm-hmm. is again a very welcoming area. They're very nice people. They are very interesting people, interesting and interested people. They're keen to know more about you, about the country you come from. So it's worth, I think, discovering Africa. Mm-hmm. But of course, yes, you have to be careful where you go. Yeah, you have to get some information before going there, but it's definitely worth the trip.
All right. Okay, thanks Manuel for sharing.
Thank you.
And would you be okay if I invite you again for another interview?
Yes, of course.
All right.
I would love.
Thank you.
Thank you, Cherika. Bye.